Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. I'm Manuel Lemos, and as usual every month, we are here to record the Lately in JavaScript podcast, on which we comment the latest topics, things, important things that have been happening lately on the JavaScript world. And as usual, I have here with me Arthur Sossins from Latvia. Hello, Arthur. How are you doing?
Hello. Great. You didn't mention that it's an episode 61, I think.
Didn't I? Well, okay. It's episode 61. And today we have some interesting topics. We are going to start precisely from one that we've heard, and I think it caused some confusion because people are not sure what exactly it means. It's about WordPress now has a new administration interface called Calypso that is totally written in JavaScript. And this is for WordPress.com. Well, that's the main intention. And WordPress.com is the hosted WordPress version that you can access. You don't have to install anything. You just can create your own blogs over there. And this new interface called Calypso, it is totally written in JavaScript on the browser side and server side.
And I remember my full Twitter stream was with tweets like, oh my god, WordPress is dropping PHP and moving to Node.js and stuff like that. And
that certainly was the major confusion. So we'll try to clarify. The WordPress.org is it's mainly based on PHP.
Yeah.
Even because many people develop plugins that are written in PHP, and so they need PHP to run. And but this is a new administration interface that will sort of be an alternative to a WP admin, and they also support plugins, but those plugins come from Jetpack enabled sites, which that's what they call those plugins that can be enabled for WordPress.com. Those are not the custom plugins that you develop for your WordPress installation, and the idea, I think, why there is actually an article by Matt Mullenweg, the creator of WordPress, that he explains it was important to develop this because, from what I heard, it is meant to make their infrastructure more scalable. So eventually they will use less hardware to run WordPress.com because it is based on Node.js, and they use all the synchronous programming, and they use the React framework, which is a framework from Facebook, right? Is it? It's from Facebook. I never tried it, but did you try it for React?
No, we commented a couple of podcasts ago about Mithril, which was similar, but no, haven't tried. Yeah. Let me just a little clarify, maybe from a development more perspective, that basically there is a WordPress that is PHP based, and there is a separate software, which is WordPress admin panel, that allows you to moderate your WordPress blog, and that is what is provided by WordPress.com. And what they did is actually write a single page web application. That's why it's in JavaScript, single page web application running in browser, that actually operates using REST API, that is in WordPress, that is actually, that's probably run on PHP because it's WordPress API. And they run this small web page application using Node.js, and there's probably basically almost none server code, only to launch the process and allow to accept in request and serve HTML files and stuff like that. And they probably use Node.js because it wouldn't require additional web server and have more parallelization options and PHP and stuff like that. But that's basically all it is. They created a separate software that would is launched by Node.js, but there is a single web application which communicates with WordPress REST API. So WordPress is not dumping PHP and moving to Node.js. It's just a separate software that uses.
Yeah, it's an alternative to HP admin. Yeah. And it's much faster. They supposedly takes less resources from their servers. And it's also open source, and if you want to try it in your own WordPress installation, you can. Is it better? Is it worse? I don't know, because, plugins somehow also have to integrate with the administration interface, right?
Probably, but basically if you add plug into your WordPress, you would need to manage it again in VPAdmin, so there should be some correlation. Like,
so in the end, it still have to be in PHP.
Yeah.
So, after all, so if you were concerned that they are dumping PHP, the answer is no. Will it ever happen? I don't think so, because there are many thousands of plugin developers. Convince them to move on to a newer version that needs to be developed in a different language. Not that JavaScript is hard, it's just different. I think it's hard. I don't see that happening, but well, what do I know? They are trying it. Yeah. Basically, Matt Mullenweg says it's up to the community to decide to embrace this alternative or not. We'll see what happens. And there is actually an article here by Alex Johnson, 6 things you should know about WordPress moving to JavaScript. WordPress is not only what WP admin, there is the core of WordPress, which is in PHP. WP admin is tightly linked to WordPress. So that's what I was telling about. If you have a plugin for WordPress, it has to be integrated also with administration interface, in case you have options that need to be provided there. Calypso is the new administration tool. It's an alternative to WP admin. Calypso is also for reading. I went to WordPress.com and see that you can pick some blogs from to follow, and there is a reader for those blogs. So Calypso is not just an administration interface. And there is also the PHP-based WordPress isn't going anywhere. So if you thought they were getting rid of it, you may rest assured that even if they wanted that, I don't see that happening, but okay, maybe the community totally changes their minds all at the same time, but there are so many millions of developers that rely on WordPress that we don't know. Well, at least I don't think, and neither WP admin, so they are not getting rid of WP admin either. So basically, that's it. If you were concerned with the future of WordPress, you don't need to be. In terms of PHP, will it be more based on JavaScript? Over time, they have added more and more layers of JavaScript to make it easier to manage. Well, will they make the the WP admin based on React and make it more user friendly, faster. I don't know. We don't know what are the plans. I think the focus here is to improve the WordPress.com infrastructure, probably saving some servers. If they have been doing, I think they have been working on this like for 2 years, I think, and they finally released it because it provides advantages, at least for them. Let's see what, if the community somehow embraces it or not. So, given that, moving on to the next topic, another confusing topic is about whether Adobe is dropping Flash or not. There is an article here that says Adobe Flash is dead in name only. Because there's many things based in Flash over the web, I don't think Adobe is pulling the plug, at least to the Adobe for the Flash plugin. Something has to run on Flash. The Flash sites, and I think one thing worth noticing is, for instance, Chrome comes built in with the Flash support. So it's not that the Flash is killed. What is being probably being killed is the Flash building tools. I mean, the tools that Adobe provides to create Flash-based sites.
Again, that was something that filled my Twitter stream after the WordPress and the JavaScript hoax. It was the next one that there were texts like, even Adobe says users to stop using Flash. So, and with that, what they mean is not uninstalling all Flash plugins, etc., but stop using the development tools.
Yeah, I think they are focusing more HTML5 and JavaScript and CSS tools. Also because with that, they can address the needs of the mobile development market, which is quite huge. And you can create native applications with a PhoneGap or Titanium or whatever. And so I think they will focus more the development of their tools on that. Not on Flash, because Flash will not run on mobile devices, but there are still sites that are based on Flash, sites that have huge applications running based on Flash, Adobe Hair as well, which also runs on top of Flash. So people shouldn't be concerned. So moving on to the next topic, now something new in terms of specifications. Let me share the screen here, which is a new specification for accessing Bluetooth devices from JavaScript. So there is the Bluetooth API specification, web Bluetooth device specification. And it has been enabled. It has been introduced in Chrome. Not exactly sure what is the version of Chrome.
It said about something about Android version that it supports.
Where do you see that? Where?
Before we start in this third paragraph. Web Bluetooth APIs at the same time operating partially implemented in Chrome OS and Chrome Dev for Android behind an experimental flag. In the top of the article, there is a
on the top.
Before we start, and the third paragraph.
Yeah, the third paragraph. Oh, yeah, but it doesn't say the Chrome version, right?
Yeah, it's Chrome Dev for Android and Chrome OS, so probably some of the latest development versions.
Oh, yeah, it's solid. Because you can see here Mac, Windows, Linux, Chrome OS, and Android enables Bluetooth, which could allow OSS to connect to Bluetooth devices.
I just want to say quickly that it's not a simple Bluetooth where you have like a socket connection, you can add and send any information you want. It's a Bluetooth low energy, which is much, much more complicated. It's not simply a socket. You got to have a profiles and work in the profile restrictions and stuff like that. I needed to work on something like that some time ago, and it was much, much more complex than simply connecting to a Bluetooth.
Yeah, device. I can see that the specification is not something trivial. Yeah, well, anyway, whoever has thought of applications that can interface with Bluetooth devices, now there will be a way to do it from HTML5 JavaScript applications. I don't see any idea for an application, but well, who knows? So moving on to the next topic, which is one related with security of logging forms. Well, Firefox Nightly starts marking login forms in HTTP as insecure. So unless you have your login forms in HTTPS, they will mark them as insecure. And
I wonder how they distinguish login form from a simple.
Well, it is those login that those forms that have a type password field.
Okay.
So they'll be marking a lot of sites as insecure.
Yeah. It's
going to be a blast.
It sort of makes sense, of course. You're sending your data insecure, so every sniffer, every Wireshark user could retrieve your information without a problem.
Yeah. So,
yeah. But actually, on a similar note, just today, one of my colleagues, Artem, participated in the podcast some time ago, sent me an interesting link which is called Let's Encrypt, and it seems to be a new certificate authority which is free and automated and open, and it would allow you to create HTTPS sites for free, basically. So it's an answer to that, and I think maybe these two events are correlated.
Well, I don't know, because do you mean they give SSL certificates for free?
Yeah, well, you have a self-signed certificate and you just need a certificate authority to approve it. And that's, I think, what they will do.
Oh, I see. Well, there are some companies that give away free basic SSL certificates. So free SSL is not new. And the problem is that people have to install them, and they have to know how to do it. And usually, it's not a trivial task. And sometimes they have to upgrade the certificates. Just this year, I have to upgrade the certificate for the accounts site on which the users log into PHP Custom JS classes. And I had to replace the certificate, and I had to make sure that the new one works and the old one is disabled. And I had to read a lot of things. But because GoDaddy, which was the issuer, required that you upgrade to SHA-256 certificates. And it's not trivial, but people will survive. Anyway, this is just an initiative of Firefox. I don't know if Chrome and others,
which are major sponsors of the Let's Encrypt. So I really think those two events are tied together, correlated. But we'll see.
They are sponsors of what?
Let's Encrypt, the ones that provide this new free certificate authority, Mozilla.
Interesting. What is the name of that entity?
Linux Foundation Collaborative Projects Let's Encrypt. Honestly, we don't know much more. But also, the Facebooks are major sponsors, and Facebook requires all apps to use HTTPS.
So. Oh, exactly. For the Canvas apps, right?
Yeah.
I was looking into that because it's an interesting feature. Instead of sending email to the users to send notifications, Facebook notifications, but the, you have to create a Canvas app. And it must be SSL.
So, if you need, I don't know if they are working yet, it's in public beta, but I think if you need an HTTPS certification authority to authorize you to verify, then you can try it.
But let me see if I understand this. If you have your own self-signed certificate, well, it doesn't prove that you are what you say you are, right? Just you have a certification authority that lets you have free certificates that will not be considered invalid by the browsers, right?
No, I really don't know the whole technology, but probably you provide them some kind of key that we using which they could verify. All I know that to use it, you download its software and use its API. And I didn't dive and try it much yet. But
yeah, this is interesting. I think everybody should know. And I'm sure that companies that issue certificates will be unhappy. Because this is like giving away certificates for free, and well, basically you can even create wildcard certificates like for subdomains, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there are also some limitations, like you need to be free or open sourced or something to get to use it or something like that. So there may be some other limitations we're not aware of yet, but the idea is interesting.
Yeah. Well, this is good to know. I was not aware. Okay. This is about the secure forms. Now you know that it is better to have your login forms in under SSL. Actually, nobody uses SSL anymore. It's TLS. And moving on to the next topic. Let's comment about just a curiosity that somebody bothered to deobfuscate JS Linux project. I didn't even know that it was obfuscated.
I think we should mention what JS Linux is.
Yes,
that it's a PC emulator.
I'm not sure if you ever tried. I think I tried it because there is it opens in a browser, right? It's basically it runs it's a sort of virtual machine that will run Linux code, right?
Yeah, I think it's emulate. It would feel like Linux, but it's all probably I think JavaScript underneath.
Yeah, it emulates PGA support. Okay, let's start emulating here. It's booting from floppy. No, there's no floppy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to configure it.
No, you need to insert floppy disk.
Right. What is a floppy disk?
Really? Windows takes 1 second.
It's a virtual machine, so it's not exactly something specific for Linux. Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Windows.
Uh-huh.
This is cool. Okay, reset. No. Exit. No. So it has already some distributions. Linux. Okay. ISO Linux. It is booting from a virtual DVD or something.
Probably from a snapshot or something like that, yeah. Check checking memory, checking hardware.
It's certainly not my machine.
Right, who am I? Or you name A.
Okay. Show all. Oh, this is a old version.
Yeah, it says.
That's root. Okay, this is interesting, but what was curious about this is just that the guy bothered to deobfuscate the code. So it's, that the emulator was obfuscated.
Yeah, why was it obfuscated in the first place? Wasn't it like
The guy wanted to sell it and...
Oh, I see.
I don't know, I'm guessing. I have no idea why, but I thought it was a curious idea just to mention, just in case you want to run some virtual machine on your own browser, you can.
But probably the obfuscating it was really hard work. So he describes the process, the ideas, and the tools he used. So if you're into that stuff, then check it out.
Okay, another topic that I wanted to mention is about it's about an experience that a guy made to turn off JavaScript for a whole week, and let's see how the web goes. I turned off JavaScript for a whole week and it was glorious. Yeah, he didn't see any advertising. He said it works. Well, there are sites that won't work. The web is free. But, well, basically, this is just a curious experience. Yeah. I don't think it's that glorious.
I tried it,
it was not good.
Yeah, I think I couldn't live like that. And the author also writes that, as you can imagine, I ran into some problems. Netflix wouldn't work, nice with YouTube. And of course, you can forget using Google Docs. Facebook pointed me to the JavaScript free version, which barely worked. Twitter worked, but like the handy character counter, making it hard to know if a tweet was too long or short or stuff like that. So it depends on JavaScript very much. So
it was just a curious experience.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest actually doing it. You probably miss out on a lot of good stuff too while using the bad stuff that they call like ads and stuff like that, but you're missing on the good stuff too.
Yeah. Well, finally there is one topic that I want to comment. It's about JSanity. JSanity is a cross-browser, secure by default, performant cross-browser client-side HTML sanitization library. So basically, you give it some HTML and it cleans it, right? I think. So it not only removes all possible insecure HTML that may cause cross Citer, even forget the name, request forgery, if you take the HTML without filtering it, but it also formats the HTML somehow, which is interesting, in case it misses, or, oh no, this is another test, it's a different test, right?
Yeah, there are many tests, but all of them are showing basically JavaScript injection each day, HTML code.
Yeah, so this is not. Yeah, well, I did a component for this, but it was in PHP. Actually, it was a HTML parser, then another chain plugin that would filter things that are insecure. And it was useful, but in this case, it is from Microsoft and it is in JavaScript. So JavaScript that filter JavaScript. I suppose this is to run something on the server side, right? Because if you have something to filter JavaScript on the browser side, somebody can hack it.
Yeah, it should not be done on browser side only.
So, but since it is JavaScript, it can be run from Node.js or something like that.
I don't know, could be.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is interesting. If you need to take HTML, you need to have some filters. I've been using that a lot because the PHP classes and JS classes sites take blog posts in HTML. Not that I expect that somebody submits some evil HTML, but let's not open that door. Mm-hmm. That's something that you should be concerned. Okay, now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award nominees and winners, starting precisely from the JS classes nominees for September. They were about classes published on September. They were voted on October. So in November, the results come out. So now I can start talking about them. Arthur, which ones would you like to start commenting?
So, PHP classes, right?
No, first JS classes.
Oh, JS classes, okay. Let me share the screen. Toolbars always hides. Okay, so I would want to comment on a class with an interesting name, Blappy. And it was developed by Emmanuel Podwin from France. And what it does, it allows you to preload AJAX contents based on URLs defined in this way, in this same page. So basically, this class parses all links in the page and checks for the data attributes, data blepi href attributes, and preloads them. And the reason is to make the switching faster. So for example, this here is the menu, and as we see, all the contents are already preloaded and they're switching quite fast. So no additional requests to serve apart from the first one that loads all information. So I think that would be a great way to use in single web page applications and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, goes to Emmanuel, and he got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package.
Okay, on my behalf, I also would like to comment on another package. Unfortunately, we didn't have many packages being published on JS classes because it's a much smaller site. It's not like PHP classes that have tons of innovative classes. So the other class that I want to comment is string multi-replace. In this case, it was developed by Martin Barker from the United Kingdom. And basically, this is to overcome a limitation of the replace functions. You usually can only replace one string at a time. So if you want to replace multiple strings, you would have to call replace multiple times. So how do I call it? Because it's maybe you could call it a subclass or a replacement class that the replace is the prototype of the replace function that will make the function actually handle multiple replacements in case it detects it is an array. So it was an interesting solution because it keeps compatibility with the default behavior of the replace function. You know, at the same time, it can support multiple replacement functions. So kudos to Martin Barker, and for this, he picked a book of choice from PACT. And now, let's see how is the Innovation Award rankings for the JavaScript. Basically, for authors, it hasn't changed much because, unfortunately, there haven't been many packages being published. lately, but the ranking so far is, and Stoth is first with 6 packages and 23 points. Suresh Kumar with is in second with 4 packages and 13 points. Jackson Knowlton with 3 packages and 10 points. And then Stephen Shepman with 2 packages and 8 points, tied with Artur Sosins from Latvia, who would know, with 3 packages and 8 points. Diego Lamonic also with 2 packages and 8 points. Then follows in 7th, Dusan Boskic and Gianluca Ferrari with 7 points, one with 2 packages and another with 1 package. In front, Joseph Brunner with 2 packages in 6 points, so is tied with Everton Barozzi in 9th place, also with 6 points, but just 1 package. By countries, as we can see, is more or less the same ranking, just mapping authors to countries. So Hungary is in first with 6 packages and 23 points, then followed by India with 6 packages and 20 points. Then United States with 4 packages and 11 points. Then France with 3 packages and 10 points. Italy, 2 packages and 8 points. Australia is in 5th, tied with Italy with also 8 points. And then Latvia as well, with just as 3 packages. Then in 8th position is Serbia and the Netherlands with 7 points. One with 2 packages and the other with 1 package. Finally, Austria with 2 packages and 6 points. Well, I hope that, well, there is only 1 month to go to end the year. And if authors can move quickly, they can still change the rankings for authors and for countries. But let's see how it goes. Well, with this, you practically ended this podcast. I'd like to thank you, Artis, again for coming. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.